It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here comes McDonald. Lead pass left side for Speedy Gregor, moving across the line, gets it to the net, loses on the check, then poked it on goal. Stick save made there by Hellebuck. Zetterlund in the corner. Penalty almost over. Jacob Peterson behind the net. Centers in front. The shot. Score! Noah Gregor had his stick down. Gets the pass from behind the net. As the penalty was expiring, Jacob Peterson gets the primary assist. And the Sharks are on top by the score of 1-0.
Yeah, it was a solid win for us tonight. It's nice to put together a full game here. It seems as of late we've had some good stretches where we're in games and then we kind of lose it. So it's nice to get a full 60-minute effort and get the win.
Turnover by Carlson. Played to the front of the net. Good save by Reimer off a weird deflection. They're not out of the woods yet. And what a stop by Reimer as Lowry sets it up to his man Appleton. And it looked like he had the full 4x6. And somehow James Reimer made an astounding save.
Well, obviously you're referring to our record. And I've talked to the players about this, and we really don't feel like we've played much different at home than we have on the road. I was talking to Rhymes about it the other day, and I think 11 or 10 of our losses have been in overtime or regular or shootout, and some of them have been giving up goals with under a minute to go. And we just, it's just been one of those things. And it's unfortunate because, you want your fans to give them something to cheer about. And I think we've been exciting in a lot of ways, sometimes in the wrong way. Exciting is a word when you lose as many one-goal games as we lost. The one thing I think we're proud of is our team has been competitive throughout the season and under some tough circumstances.
All right, good morning, everyone. Winnipeg came into that game expecting a Sharks team that would be maybe defined by their record. Instead, the Sharks team that we know all too well this year showed up. They were better than their record. They were not going to make things easy on the opposition, and they pushed Winnipeg, and Winnipeg didn't know how to push back. James Reimer was perfect, and the team on the ice was good enough. And in the end, this added up to a much-needed 7th home win of the year. The fans got to go home happy. And believe me, I do know what you're going to say, that doesn't help them at all in the Bedard sweepstakes. But here's the deal. It's not a guarantee that you get the number one overall pick. And right now, in maximizing players like Noah Gregor and Kevin LeBanc and James Reimer and whoever else it's going to be, whether or not they are part of the future of the Sharks, I routinely have pointed back all year long to the idea that you don't want a culture of losing to set in. And I think that's why I have pointed to the Sharks' mentality all year long. They've got the fight. They've got the drive. They've got the desire. You've got Erik Karlsson, racking up more points and making good plays. There was a great instance last night where there was a breakaway, and Karlsson, you can hear him, and keep in mind, I'm way up top, start screaming, "I got it, I got it, I got it." And he's hustling his ass back to get on that defensive end as fast as he can. That effort in game 74 of the year should not be overlooked. Or when Logan Couture, who is the captain, who I think as much as he leads by just being the kind of guy who's going to go and talk to players and give them words of encouragement when nobody's looking, he also leads by example when he's out there on the ice. And at times last night, he was, giving up his body, diving into the boards, trying to make things happen, breaking up shots, breaking up passes. Like, you combine those things with where the Sharks have been this year, and that doesn't add up. And it was something that I talked to Corey Mastrzak about yesterday, and we're going to hear a little bit from him a little bit later in this episode. But he talked about how the Sharks' record does not reflect what they have been as a team this year. And you look at the goal differential, until lately with the Sharks. And you look at, you know, their comparisons with metrics with a lot of the other teams in the NHL that are, you know, bad like them in terms of the record. And it didn't add up in the slightest. The Sharks have been on the bad end and the wrong end of a lot of different performances, right? Like this year has not been kind to them. And the Sharks definitely have not made life easy on themselves, but they've had a number of games where you just look at it and you can't believe the odds or the unlikeliness of, you know, things going against them. You point to the game where they, you know, score an empty netter and lose. That's happened two times in the last 10 years, and it's happened to the Sharks. I mean, you think about, you know, the other games, the Carolinas and the Anaheims, and, you know, there's too many to list where things that were unlikely or improbable even to happen. You just kind of go back and you're like, what on earth did I just witness? What on earth was that which I was just paying attention to? And that's when it gets difficult. I mean, that's when you start wondering what on earth happened and what could have been with this season. And I don't think this team is a world-beating team by any means, but, you know, if you had had just a few more breaks go your way early on, and it's something that Kevin LeBanc alluded to, and we're going to talk with him in the second half of the episode. I got to talk with him as well after the win last night, an exclusive for the Sharks Audio Network. You know, we talked early on about some of the things not going their way and, you know, getting off to the slow start and watching some of these things slip away. Like, it doesn't make any sense in my mind, like, with the way the Sharks have been capable of playing, and even against some of the bad teams, they have had really poor performances that don't go in line with what you would expect to see. And they've had some really good performances against really good teams that, again, aren't really what you expect to see from a team like the Sharks that are relative bottom feeders this year. And I think that, you know, you look at what a team like Winnipeg, I think, was expecting coming into the building tonight. They were expecting a defeated Sharks team that was, you know, just going to coast to the finish, but that's not at all what we saw. And again, you give credit to the leadership core, you give credit to everybody. I mean, some of those stops that Reimer made last night were out of this world. And listen, it's not been an easy week for him, whether or not you agree with his political stance in terms of whether or not he should wear the Pride jersey, but he played a phenomenal game. He made phenomenal stops. He did all sorts of crazy bodily contortions to help the Sharks win. And that's not easy when it's this point of the year. I mean, I think that when you're looking at this team, to see a performance like that is not really what you expect. And again, I go back to Winnipeg not expecting it. And I think that, you know, you get a multi-point game from Noah Gregor, who is trying to prove himself that he wants to be part of the Sharks in the future, which is something he talked about after the game. I think you look at Nico Sturm still having an impact. You look at, you know, Kevin LeBanc, who has been, you know, since he's been reinserted into the lineup, has been playing really, really good hockey. And that includes him dealing with life as the father of a newborn. Like, I remember exactly how it was. It's not easy. And, you know, I look at, you know, the contributions that you get from a Gregor and a LeBanc in a game like last night's, as well as Carlson getting another point. And then you saw all the little things, which is, again, this is something that I point to all year long. And it's obvious that it works when you do it, but it's also obvious that it's not there every night for the Sharks. I always point to doing the little things well. Like, last night, the Sharks contested passes and contested shots exceptionally well. It seemed like Winnipeg could never get comfortable on the puck. And if Winnipeg could never get comfortable on the puck, they could never give themselves really good looks. They could never give themselves really good setups. And that was the case all night long. Whether they were getting rid of the puck, whether they were receiving the puck, whether they were trying to get a shot off, the Sharks were there every single time to disrupt. And it felt like that was the most consistent factor of the night. And even in the third period, when the Sharks started to get a little sloppy and give up some penalties, and you started getting a little worried. I mean, I'll be honest, guys. I was thinking, okay, I've seen enough Sharks games this year to know that if Winnipeg can get a goal, you know, with about 10 minutes or, you know, to 8 minutes left in the game, this could change very, very suddenly. But the Sharks, you know, they didn't give it up. They kept on playing very, very sound hockey. They kept on playing very, very tough, and they were blocking shots, and it was very much the team effort that they needed that they haven't had nearly enough of all year long. So from that standpoint, it was very, very encouraging, and it was just overall good to see, to watch every player on the team out there together, you know, not harmonious. I won't say it was harmonious in any way, shape, or form, but the collective will of the San Jose Sharks got them a win in an unforeseen circumstance against a team like Winnipeg that's fighting for their playoff lives. And the Sharks just said, nope, we're not going to make it easy on you. And Winnipeg did not have the response that was necessary. And I, I point to things like that. I don't overlook it. I acknowledge that that's a big, big moment for this Sharks team, and I hope that there is carryover from this year to the next. And the guys that know they will be here next year, and I think they're pretty ticked off. I think they are pretty upset with the way this year went. And I think that, you know, you look to the season prior, you know, and the Sharks were, they were not good, but they hung around and they were still in it late as it pertained to the trade deadline. And you just, you know, it was a different team last year. I'll put it that way. You still had Brent Burns. You know, it was, you still had Timo Meier at that point. Maybe Erik Karlsson wasn't on pace to have 100 points, but when he was healthy last year, he was having a very, very good season. But the point is, there's nothing about the Sharks up to this point of the season that says they're going to win that game last night, other than their effort and commitment and grind. But on paper, it was like Winnipeg's going to win this game, and that's the way that Winnipeg viewed it. And unfortunately for them, the Sharks showed up with the same effort, determination, and drive that they've shown all year long, and they walked away with a win when all was said and done. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game sound, plus a sit-down with Kevin LeBanc. That's coming up next on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Ferraro plays it up against the boards and eats it, and that is it. Final score. The San Jose Sharks 3, the Winnipeg Jets nothing, and the entire Sharks team is coming out to really congratulate James Reimer, who made 41 saves in this game. A tremendous performance by James Reimer as he picks up his third shutout of the season, the 28th of his NHL career, and a wonderful performance for him back at home for the folks in Manitoba who were undoubtedly watching.
Well, I've said that all along, and I think you guys have been around us enough to feel it, too. You can feel when people are down and out, and there's a crack, and there's no cracks here. And I give our guys a ton of credit, and I give really, in particular, Logan and Carl and Earl and Mario have done a phenomenal job keeping this thing together. You know, Vlasic's done a really good job. Reimer's done a really good job. And those older guys, I mean, listen, they've all had a lot of success in their careers, playoff runs. Human nature can kick in, and it'd be easy to just kind of go through the motions under these circumstances, and they're not doing it.
Welcome back, everyone. That was the scene after last night's win for the San Jose Sharks, and you could hear Dan Ruzanowski talking about everybody coming out to really pay homage to James Reimer because, let's face it, the guy was absolutely spectacular.
Face-off drop, power plays on Sharks Audio, brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort. Cash in at Cache Creek Casino Resort. Carlson turns, gives the puck away. Lowry's taking off. Carlson rushing back to get him. He slips by him. He shoots. He saves. Another save by Reimer. And Reimer falls on the puck. Two saves on shorthanded attempts by Adam Lowry on the breakaway following the Carlson turnover. 3:03 to play. It's still 2-0 Sharks.
It was just highlight reel stuff from Reimer all night long. This is what he had to say after the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, probably close to it. You know, obviously, when you get a shutout, it's nice, and usually, whenever you get a shutout, it's because you know, you get the bounces, and so tonight was one of those. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, my game against New York earlier in the season, I think, was probably, you know, a quality game too. But you know, it's always nice when you get the win and the bounces.
Reimer was also asked about proving himself and that he still belongs in this league and deserves another contract.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every day. I mean, I still got the fire, still got the drive, still got that desire to compete. And so, you know, I love coming to the rink every day. I love playing. I love competing, especially with these guys, you know. You know, I just like when I was, you know, 22, breaking into the league, and I'm 35 now, and you know, I'm a hockey nerd. You know, I love the game. So as long as, you know, I'm still enjoying it, and as long as the good Lord, you know, allows me to keep playing, you know, I'll keep trying.
That's a question that Noah Gregor was asked about as well, as he's been playing some really good hockey as of late. He talked about, you know, it being a contract year and wanting to show that he wants to be with the Sharks going forward.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I want to prove to the organization here that I'm a piece that they want to have next year and years to come. You know, I love playing in San Jose, so I'm just going to go out there for the last eight games now and try to prove to them that, you know, I should be around.
As you may have been able to pick up over the years, I am a big Noah Gregor fan. I like his game a lot. I think that he's also just a very, very intelligent, very nice young man. He's one of those guys that you like having represent the next generation of Sharks. I think that you look at the friendships between him and a guy like Mario Ferraro, and I don't think that happens by accident. They're two guys that understand the core values of the organization and want to represent that. Here's more on Gregor from David Quinn.
Yeah, you know, Greggy's had a real good stretch here since he's got back in the lineup, and I'm really happy for him. And, you know, this guy's got an elite talent, which is his skating, and when he's playing with an edge, he's a very good player in this league, and I'm really happy for him.
And that's the way that you want to hear your coaches talking about you, especially since there was an extended run where Gregor was out of the lineup, and he came back and he proved himself. I mean, that's, again, exactly what you want to see. Another guy who is in a similar situation is Kevin LeBanc, who had a goal in last night's game. I spoke to him after the win. This is what it sounded like.
Jets cleared to center ice, and there's Kaut backhanding it right back into Winnipeg territory. Playing it in the trapezoid there was Hellebuyck. Got it around the boards, fed out to center, but Carlson intercepts there and flips back in. It's LeBanc, Sturm, Gregor on the ice. They try to work it free, but this time Scheifele checked by Gregor. Gregor steals the puck, slides near side, Sturm, the shot, score! Kevin LeBanc was providing a layer of traffic in front. It tipped off of something and slipped by Hellebuyck. Sturm sending it toward the goal, and with 2:23 gone by in the third, Kevin LeBanc may very well get credit for that. It's 2-0 Sharks.
All right, man, we got Kevin LeBanc after the Sharks' nice win tonight over Winnipeg. First off, man, you've got a newborn like a month and a day now. I remember that very well. How's the sleep going for you?
It's good for me, but the wife, you know, she's been taking, you know, the grunt of it from him. So, but you know, it's fun coming home to him, and you know, just seeing him grow. You know, you go on a week or two long road trip, and mm-hmm. you know, next thing you know, they're just got a full head of hair just like that. But it's incredible being a father, and you know, it's one of the best things in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it. My boys are now 9 and 7, so I'm a little bit removed, but I remember it well. Like, has it changed your perspective, you think?
Yeah, it for sure has changed my perspective. I mean, you come home and, you know, you leave everything at the rink, and mm-hmm. you don't really bring it back home. You know, you just come to your son and your wife, and it's just nothing but joy and happiness in the household. So it's a lot of fun, and, you know, I'm excited for this new chapter of our life.
How's your wife adjusting to everything?
She's versatile, I guess. that's a good way of putting it. But she's doing great. You know, her mom came out, so she's been a huge help.
And nice.
Yeah, you know, it's been great for her. You know, just kind of her having her mom out here. You know, they live in Florida, so it's kind of a trek for them. So mm-hmm. you know, they want to try and spend as much time as they can with their kids. And then now my parents are going to come out. So yeah, hopefully. Hopefully he gets a little bit more sleep when they see him next.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about the game tonight. I won't bug you too much more about your family life. But, you know, obviously, like, your goal, like, those plays, they happen so fast, at least from our perspective. Could you see that coming? Or are you just thinking, get my stick down and hope for something? Or are you thinking, like, you know what, I can see what Nico wants to do here?
Yeah, I saw Greggy had the puck, and then, you know, I'm kind of like alone in front of the net, and you know, and then I see him pass the Sturmy, and then I'm like, all right, be ready for mm-hmm. a tip wherever the puck may be. And you know, he just kind of slid it along the ice, and you know, I just wanted to get a touch on it, and you know, if there's a rebound, you know, go get the puck. But you know, I went through Hellebuyck's legs, mm-hmm. and yeah, it was a good goal, and you know, it kind of gave us a little bit of a break.
Your game's obviously been going along really well here for a while after you spent some time out of the lineup. Like, in terms of maximizing the end of the year, like, is this something you just want to keep on pouring it on?
Yeah, you know, we only have, I think, 8 games left till the season ends, and you know, we play for the fans. You know, they're so great. Mm-hmm. You know, they come every single night, support us, and they cheer us on, so, and they give us that extra juice, you know, throughout the game. So, you know, we play play for them, and we play hard, and, you know, we're competitive. We're, you know, we play to win.
Yeah. Does it make it even more frustrating when you guys have had so many close losses this year, and you know that, like, Winnipeg's fighting for their playoff lives, and you guys just put together a really good performance? Not, I'm not saying that it was easy by any means, but you were clearly good enough to get a very convincing win.
Yeah, I think at the start of the year, you know, we just let a lot of games slip, and you know, I don't know how many, but, you know, it's you know, those are the, it's a game of margins, and, you know, we just let too many games get out of hand for us, and you know, we left a lot of points off the table for us. So I think that we just need to, you know, just really give it our all these next little couple of weeks, and make sure that we're getting ready for the game, and try and do everything that we can to, you know, get ready for next season.
How about James tonight? I mean, he just made some pretty crazy stops.
Yeah, I mean, Rhymes, he was incredible, you know, and he's such a competitor, and, you know, you see it on all his saves. So, you know, and we didn't make that shutout easy for him. You know, we gave him a couple breakaways, but, you know, he just so dialed in, and just such a good person as well. So, you know, it's really nice to see him get the shutout there.
Yeah, he's, last year he was the winner of, I believe, the Media Good Guy of the Year type award. And then, like, I always see, like, even after losses, it seems like he's able to kind of laugh it off and kind of just be able to shake it off, even though he's the guy, you know, in net, and the TV camera focuses on him after a goal is given up. Does his mentality, does that permeate the rest of the group, you think, the fact that he is able to act like, hey, you know, water off a duck's back, on to the next one?
Yeah, you know, Rhymes, you know, personality, it's infectious, you know. You know, if you see one guy being a good guy, it kind of spreads throughout the locker room. And, you know, he's just so positive and optimistic, you know, and, you know, even these last little bit, our last couple of games, you know, he's like, all right, let's play to win here. And, you know, it all makes us all want to work hard for him as well, and for each other.
Right on, man. Well, congrats on the win, and I'll see you on Thursday night, all right?
Yep, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, you're going to hear from Corey Massasak of The Athletic. You're on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
All right, welcome back to Morning Tide, everyone. I am going to play some of the interview that you didn't hear yesterday on the build-up with Corey Massasak of The Athletic. And I was asking him about, you know, the Sharks being an intriguing project, and maybe even more intriguing when you add in the fact that Erik Karlsson has been having a historic season.
I don't know, to be honest, I don't know if I really had any expectations, like, about how the, you know, the team was going to play, or the, you know, I just kind of knew, like, a few things here and there. I'll say, I mean, just for me, for our purposes, for me or for Shanger, for Curtis, any of us, like, you know, getting one of those players will make our jobs, like, more interesting over the next couple of years, next, whatever it could be, you know, it could be the next 15 years, but, like, just having those types of players, like, coming, like, developing, like, it just, you know, all of that stuff. Like, I just, like, going from the Devils winning the lottery and up until the third season of Jack Hughes, I've written so many things about him. Like, I used to joke that I spent more time in Michigan in the offseason than I did in New Jersey or New York, because that's where the Team USA and the Hugheses and everybody are just kind of based. You know, I mean, Connor Bedard's from Vancouver. That wouldn't hurt. I just think, like, yeah, look, this year specifically, you know, I'm sure somebody from the outside might say, oh my God, you've watched this team lose whatever it is, you know, 30 times at home, and they're going to lose whatever it is, 55 games. Like, again, the games have been entertaining. Like, watching Erik Karlsson do this year has been, I mean, 30 years from now, hopefully I'll be able to look back and say, man, that year that Erik Karlsson had 100 points, that was amazing. Yeah. And so, like, even again, not to always just bring it back to New Jersey, but I mean, the Devils were terrible, but like the leap that Jack Hughes' second year, it was like he didn't have 100 points, but it was like this whenever he was healthy. Like every night, it was just like, wow, I can't believe this kid is awesome. He's going to be awesome. Like it was just fun. It was literally just fun to watch him play hockey. And so it's been like that with Eric and Timo before he was. And so just in general, I like, you know, this, it seems like it's another year of watching a terrible team or whatever, but like, honestly, the games have been entertaining. The players have been great. Like, and I mean, this is all, it's the first time back in the locker room in like 3 years.
Right.
And just like, I mean, the team could be terrible and the guys could be boring and it would still be great for me because I'm back in the locker room and I can actually talk to them. But I would take an entertaining team with like engaging people in the locker room to talk to over a good team full of boring players.
Yes. Well, so you get stories like the F1 stuff you did. Yeah. Like that's something you don't get when you're away from the team.
Right. No, I mean, I was talking about that with somebody the other day. Like I did a story last year on the escape room team club, and that story took almost 2 weeks to do because it was like trying to get guys on Zoom or trying to not do Zooms with them because they didn't want everybody else to write about it. And so it was like, it was just a very, like at the end of it, I was like, I really like this story. It was fun. But man, do I miss being in the locker room. I could have done this story in 2 days. And so, yeah, the Formula One story, it was literally 2 days of talking to players. And then I wrote it. Like, that's the type of thing that's just, you can't, it's, you just, there's just no way to replicate that on Zoom.
As a final one for you, you just wrote about Shakir Makhmadoul and you know, talked about a lot of his, you know, film clips. What do you see when you look at those clips?
I've basically covered him since the day he was drafted, with a little bit of a hiatus here. He still looks like a giraffe at times, because he's so tall and skinny, but he does like that. Just if you sort of separate the clips from 2 years ago and the clips from the World Juniors, I mean, he's been such a weird and divisive prospect for this entire 3 years, but one of his biggest, like, I don't know what you call problems or the things that have messed with his narrative is he didn't have necessarily a bad World Juniors, but his team had a terrible World Juniors. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it was basically like, I mean, there, I don't know, maybe we'll look back 5 years from now and that defense corps will look better than we thought. But at the time it was like, man, this is, of all those like big gun, like US, Canada, Sweden, Russia, this defense corps does not belong here except for him. And he was playing like 27, 30 minutes a night. So I watched him, you know, a lot of the stuff was from this year with UFA, and he looks just way more calm and poised and all that, all the stuff that you're supposed to sort of pick up as you go along. Mm-hmm. Like he was so raw when he was like 17, 18 years old. It was like, you know, you looked at he was 6'4", and every third time he took a slap shot, he boomed it. But then the other two were like, oh man, this kid, is he using a wet noodle or a stick? And so like, he just, it's everything is sort, you can see, it was just that I mean, obviously like people want to see like all the different things he does on the ice. But for me personally, it was just, okay. Like I've heard Corey Pronman and Craig Button and all these guys say that he's making progress, but he's been doing it, you know, on the other side of the world, and you never see it. So, and the only time that people in America really got to see him was at the World Juniors. And like I said, that was just not a great platform for him. So I do think that, like, look, he's still raw. He still might be 2 or 3 years before we actually see, like, okay, this is the guy he's going to be for his career. But like, there's just, I'm sure that like all like Todd Marchman, those player development guys are just like, he's just like this big thing of clay, and they just can't wait to like mold him because he's, you know, there's just, you can, you know, you guys can be 5'10" and have, you know, all the will and want to and everything, but like, there's just certain things that 6'4" guys who can look like they have 10-foot reaches can do that other guys can't do. So he's just, can they, you know, can he get a little bit stronger? Can he get a little bit quicker in his decision-making? And then, you know, I mean, if he fills out and all that stuff happens, they might have something pretty good there.
Again, that is Corey Massasak of The Athletic joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And we are just about out of time. But as always, be sure to be back with us tomorrow afternoon as we get you ready for the Sharks to take on Vegas. That one starts at 7:30, which means live pregame coverage will start at 7, and you'll hear the build-up and teal report starting at 3 in the afternoon. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.